Welcome back to Champlain Valley Game Night right here at 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Going up until 7 o'clock. Full show today. Red Sox baseball starts their coverage 7:25 as they get ready for Game 1 of a series with the Chicago White Sox. But now let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line where we find ourselves Jeff Perlman, noted author, author of several great books, including this one that just has come out called Football for a Buck, a book on the USFL. And you've also written about Brett Favre, the Showtime Lakers, Roger Clemens, and countless others. Jeff, how are you?
You use the adjective noted, so I'm pretty happy.
Well, hey, that's better than unknown.
Yeah, or some of the things I'm called in my house by my kids. I'm pretty psyched about that.
Well, Jeff, again, the new book, Football for a Buck, a book about the USFL. Why did you want to write about the USFL?
I mean, so I'm 46, and when I was 10 years old, the USFL was starting its first season. And I just love the league. Like, love, love, love as much as you can love anything in sports. And, you know, a lot of that is, like, sort of how we are when we're kids. And you see something new and shiny and bright. And I remember seeing Herschel Walker on the cover of Sports Illustrated in his New Jersey Generals uniform and just being blown away. So, for years and years, I was fascinated by the league and all the names, Steve Young and Jim Kelly and Herschel and Reggie White. And this grand experiment of challenging the NFL with spring football. I just was always, I loved it as a kid. I was fascinated by it as an adult. I always wanted to write about it, and I ignored everyone who said I shouldn't and just decided to do it.
You know, Jeff, it's funny you say you're 46. I'm 28, so I didn't live through the USFL. My knowledge of it is from the 30 for 30 that came out a few years ago. Explain to me and the younger audience, what made the USFL so successful?
Okay. See, successful would be the wrong adjective because it only lasted 3 years, right? But It was marvelous, right? It was at a time when the NFL felt kind of stilted and a little boring, and you know, they weren't allowing the players to express themselves. And the USFL comes along, and it's like, okay, we're going to be a spring football league. We're going to have coaches' challenges. We're going to have two-point conversions. We're going to allow juniors, because Herschel Walker came out after his junior year to sign with the USFL, and at the time, the NFL did not allow that. You could not have underclassmen sign. And then they were like, and they had, like, this is going to sound corny, but they had crazy neon kind of uniforms and explosive names, and they were popping up in weird markets. Like, literally, the San Antonio Gunslingers were a team. You know, the Oklahoma Outlaws. And then they started drafting guys, and they scared the crap out of the NFL because they started signing all these guys who were, you know, first-round NFL talent. Craig James from SMU, Herschel Walker, Kelvin Bryant, Steve Young, Jim Kelly, Reggie White. On and on and on. So they terrified, absolutely terrified the NFL.
Jeff, it's funny you say these things about, oh, they had the wacky rules, they had the bright jerseys, they were in weird markets. Did the USFL really just do what the XFL tried to do? Because that's what it feels like to me. It sounds like you're describing the XFL, just one that lasted longer than 1 year.
No, I actually would say they tried to do what the NFL finally decided to do. Like, the USFL had a team in Jacksonville. That was the first time the NFL thought of it. The USFL had a team in Tennessee. First time the NFL thought of it. You know, allowing players to express themselves. You know, later you saw different teams, you know, with the touchdown dances and the sort of moonwalking in the end zone, all that stuff. That all came straight out of the USFL. So I think what the league really did, two great things for players. Number one, the salaries exploded because you actually had an alternative to signing with the NFL, the way they would give you big money. And the other thing they did is they allowed players to be themselves. They allow players to brag and boast and talk trash and dance in the end zone. So I think the NFL ended up doing a lot of what the USFL said, you know, here's a way football should be.
Jeff Perlman, noted author, Football for a Buck, a book on the USFL, with us here at Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. What caused the undoing of the USFL?
I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Explain
that more.
Donald Trump was the owner of the New Jersey Generals. And this, and I want to say for the record, this has nothing to do with your current political leanings one way or another. It truly doesn't. Donald Trump buys into the USFL in 1984. He buys the New Jersey Generals after one season. He enters, and he's all about spring football. This is great. I love the USFL. I love what they're doing. I'm really excited to be a part of it. And as soon as he gets to Generals, we need to move to fall. This is a joke. We need to be a fall fool. We need to take on the NFL head-to-head. And his whole motivation was to get an NFL franchise. He'd been rejected by the Baltimore Colts in a bid to buy them. So in 1984, he actually arranged a secret meeting with the commissioner of the NFL, Pete Rozelle, at the Pierre Hotel in New York City, and says, you know, to Rozelle, I don't really care about the USFL. I'll do whatever it takes to get in the NFL. That means blowing up this league. That's fine. I don't care. It was all a tool to him to getting into the NFL. And one of the greatest sort of, if you want to know why Donald Trump is so angry about the NFL and has been for years and years, Pete Rozelle in that meeting says to him, as long as I am commissioner of the NFL, you and your family will have nothing to do with my league. Never, ever, ever. Because he just saw Trump as kind of this con man, this smooth talker, new money. And the move to fall and the ultimate decision to sue the NFL killed the USFL.
So I guess, that was my question. So does Trump move or, you know, help spearhead the move to the league to the fall just solely because he's so bitter about the NFL that he wants to beat it head on in its own season? He couldn't just be okay with scaring the hell out of them in the spring?
No, he wanted to be a part of them. Like, he wanted to be in the NFL, and he saw a move to fall. He thought one of two things would happen. He thought, number one, they sue the NFL, and what ultimately becomes is a merger. And okay. You have to remember the New York Jets at that time had moved to New Jersey to play in the Meadowlands to share with the Giants. So there was no team in New York City. He was convinced that a team in the Generals would become the New York Generals and they would just be absorbed by the NFL. Or, worst case scenario, they sue the NFL for antitrust violations. They win, and then the USFL was flush with money. And ultimately a merger of some sort happened. So And it wasn't without logic, some of the planning, but it was a huge disaster. It's one of the great, truly, he never talks about it. It's one thing he never talks about. It's one of the great failures of his business career as a USFL.
Really? And so, Jeff, when I hear things now about, you know, that we've got the Alliance of American Football starting and the XFL is coming back, is there any hope for a league at this point that isn't the NFL in the way that there was hope for a league back in the early to mid-80s?
I think so. I think the Alliance looks like a prayer. They know what they're doing. And you just can't make the mistakes USFL did. Number one, you're not going to take the NFL on directly. It's just not going to happen, so don't do it. Play in the spring. Number two, you can't spend outlandishly. You know, don't try stealing players from the NFL. Don't try drafting guys who are going to be the, you know, top picks in the draft. Just don't do that. And three, keep it regional. If you have a team in Florida, this is what the USFL did very wisely. If you have a team in Florida, fill them up with guys from Florida State, Miami, Bethune-Cookman, all the different schools there. You know, across the board. And I think they're doing that. And I think as long as they keep it sort of minor league level, they have a shot.
How is the quality of play in the USFL beyond the star players? You mentioned the Reggie Whites and the Jim Kellys and the Steve Youngs. How were the rest of the rosters filled out? What was the overall quality of play?
So 83 the first year, very hit or miss. 84 the second year, much better. 85 the third year, fantastic. And again, you're talking about a lot of guys who went to the USFL. They started picking off a ton of NFL players. So, like, you know, Brian Seip, who'd been the 1980 MVP with Cleveland, Kansas City starting safety, Gary Barbaro. Like, there are a million guys like that who went to the NFL. So, by the end of it, it wasn't, you know, the best, I would say the two best teams in the USFL were the Michigan Panthers and the Philadelphia Stars. I would say both of those teams were probably 500 NFL teams. So, good quality, very good quality.
Jeff Perlman, author, with us here on Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com. As I said, you've written about the USFL. You've written about Brett Favre. I remember that book, Gunslinger, the Showtime Lakers, Roger Clemens. What are the other stories you want to tell? What's the next frontier for you?
I mean, my dream book has nothing to do with your show. So I really want to write Tupac Shakur's biography.
Really?
Yeah.
But you got to find out what happened first. Every time I see a thing on USA, A&E, I never get the answer.
I know. He's my favorite performer of all time. I just think it'd be a great, great book. Allow me to step out of sports a little. So hopefully you'll have me back in Vermont to talk Tupac.
Yeah, that would be. We actually, it's funny you mentioned that. We had an autograph authentication remote recently, and somebody brought in a Tupac autograph. It turned out to be fake. I was crushed. Jeff, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. The book is great. It's called, again, Football for a Buck. It's a book on the USFL. A lot of our listeners will remember the USFL fondly, and a lot of the things that are in that book help you understand why Donald Trump is the way that Donald Trump is towards the NFL. I think that's fascinating also. Jeff, thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.